Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Juan Mata, breaking the mold.
An exquisite finish by Juan Mata
on TalkSport.
Hello and welcome to Juan Mata, breaking the mold with me, Guillem Balaguer. Manchester United's Juan Mata is a World Cup winner, a European champion, Champions League and Europa League winner. And yet Mata, for a man who is at the top of the game and at the peak of his powers, really alters the way the public sees footballers. Since his arrival on these shores in 2011, he has established himself in the hearts and minds of many football supporters, unique in his kindness and understanding of football fans, his insistent smile, his footballing skills and his unique relationship with English fans have enlightened the football landscape in this country. He writes his own blog, he builds Spotify playlists for fans and he genuinely cares about football as a sport. He's still as passionate about the game now as he was as a child on the streets of Oviedo. His playing career is illustrious and still ongoing. Few pros can say they have played for Real Madrid, Chelsea and Manchester United and be proud of his time at all those clubs. For this interview, Juan invited us to his local hotel near his home in Manchester. Apparently all his interviews are conducted there. Alongside him, his father Juan and his friend Jose. We sat down over a coffee and left me in no doubt that Juan Mata is breaking the mould.
Mata, edge of the penalty area, bringing the ball down, shooting towards goal. He doesn't miss from there.
Great cross, and Mata meets it in sumptuous style, and it's 2-0 Chelsea.
Yes! It's the greatest night in Chelsea's history. Champions of Europe at last.
And Mata fires the ball low and hard into the empty net, and Spain are European champions again.
Into Di Maria, looks for Mata again.
Mata with a wonderful bicycle kick pass. Simon Mignolet in front of the delirious Manchester United fans. Juan Mata in the English Clásico.
The winners of the FA Cup are Manchester United. Juan Mata scores for Manchester United against Manchester City, and Old Trafford bursts into life.
We are in a hotel which you use sometimes, not far away from home, is that right?
No, 5 minutes.
5 minutes from home, which you use sometimes to come and have a coffee and meet some friends. Is this like your living room, your public living room?
Well, that's how the hotel manager call it, my room. Every time I come, everyone is waiting for you in your room. And it's a big room.
It's a massive room, yeah, yes. Yes, please, I'll have some milk. What's the bit that you like most about football? Training, the game, scoring?
Yeah, I mean, being on the pitch. Even a Tuesday morning when you go to training and then you warm up, you do a little box or exercises, and then I enjoy that, just being there in the field, in the grass, with the ball. And obviously, the best feeling in football is enjoying what you are doing, enjoying your game, and obviously the feeling when you score an important goal. This is the best moment for sure.
Is that football? Is that what it is?
In what sense?
So when people come and see the games, for them the game is the most important thing at that point. For a footballer, you're saying about the playing football, but is that all that football is? Is there anything else around it? Is there a business more than a sport? Is that something that
football in the in the first thought is a sport, so it's a game, and obviously it's about training, getting ready for the games, playing, fans going and see the games. It's all about passion, and without this passion it couldn't work. And without passion and love for what we do and for what the fans bring to the game, it couldn't work. After that, obviously, it's a massive sport because it's probably the most loved sport in the world, and that brings a lot of things around. Business purposes and things. But obviously, for me, football, what we all understand as football is seeing people playing with the ball and try to win and try to enjoy in the game.
Your passion takes you to watch games as well from other teams?
And yes.
On telly, live?
Yeah. On telly, more than live, because obviously when we are playing, there are a lot of games playing in the same time, so you cannot go. But when you get home, we normally watch Spanish League and other games of the Premier League, Italian League, Germany. I like to watch football, and I like to watch football players play that I like. And I enjoy watching a good game, you know, and it really gets me happy because it's what I love.
And when you watch it, are you watching it as a footballer, as a fan, as a way of relaxing? So do you analyze it when you're watching it?
Yeah, sometimes, yes. Yeah, with the years, even more, because then you see how a team plays or how they are organized tactically or what this player is about physically or what does he do normally from the wing or whatever movement it is. And then you analyze it. But, you know, when you see a game that you don't care about the result, then you try to focus in different things, not just about winning or losing. And then you start learning a lot of new things.
Perhaps what I was meant before about if that is football is that you're talking about with passion of the game, you're talking about passion about what you do in the game. But is football going a little bit too far away from that sometimes? And in many cases, business takes over and kills that passion.
Well, it depends how you see it. Obviously, not in me, because I really know what's important for me from football. But obviously, as a business world, maybe, you know, there's a lot of things going on around. And I'm talking about, obviously, normal thing, which is merchandising or, you know, the schedules for the TV with the times of the games and things like this, which is normal because it affects a lot of people and people is craving to watch these games, to buy these shirts, and that's normal things. So I would like to see it as well in a positive way and thinking that all these things are coming and football is that big because of the emotion that it brings to everyone. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but I prefer to focus in the genuine thing.
You said before that football live in a bubble. Your bubble seems to have windows that looks into the outside world. I don't know if you feel that way, that you are still in a bubble, but you are able to see what's outside. Is that how you feel?
Well, I just said that because I got asked about it, and obviously I'm a football player, but I'm a human being, and I like football. I love football. It's what I do now in my life most of the time, but I can appreciate other things, and I can be interested and curious about other things and know what's happening in the world or around football. And for me it's good because you have a different vision of life, not just about football all the time.
So you read a lot?
Well, I just like to, and I'm curious about other things as well, not just about football or results, you know, and I think everyone does the same, so I wouldn't see it as something weird.
When you are away from the training ground, how is the guitar playing? Is that working well?
Well, I mean, yeah, a little bit better than last week and like this. Trying to improve a little bit more, but it takes time. It takes time. You need to practice quite a lot. And I'm trying, but obviously I'm very bad at it.
It's an acoustic guitar.
Yeah.
And what's the aim?
I mean, I would love to play it good because I think it's a nice thing to play a... a musical instrument because I like music. So, well, I've seen my uncle playing it, I've seen some friends playing it, and
it must be easy, you thought.
Yeah, I thought, well, if they do it, I can do it, but then it's taking time.
How about composing? Is it just playing music or composing as well?
No, just playing another songs. No, I didn't compose anything.
Because you write, the blog that gets done, is it written by you mostly? Or?
Yeah.
So, and your writing is
well, it depends on the mood. Sometimes it's difficult, you know, especially when you lose a game, because your mood is not for writing or for saying anything. It's just for playing again and trying to have better feelings. And obviously for the fans, because when you lose, you know, I always try to tell them what I feel, and I always try to be positive because it's the way I feel. But I understand sometimes they don't want to read anything. They just want us to win. And well, I've been doing that for the last years, and I never missed a Sunday or a Monday without it. And, I think I'll keep doing it because I think the feedback that I get from the people is very good, from the fans, and I think they like it.
I just got a call from publishers in England. They want somebody to write a novel, and they said, would you know any football player that would write a novel? And I thought, I know somebody. So you've got a contract.
I wouldn't be that crazy to think that I'm able to do that. I'm not that.
Imagine you get given that opportunity, really. What would be your novel about?
I have no idea. Seriously, I have a lot of respect for writers. You know, people might think it's easy to write something or for journalists or something like this, but when you get into a blank piece of paper and then you have to write something, and that this something, it gets to a lot of people, to millions of people, and then they love it and they want more. I mean, it's very difficult. So I have a lot of respect for writers, for people that have the courage to create something from their minds coming through words. And I wouldn't dare to do it now.
So if you become a writer, let's imagine you do, you wouldn't be so much a writer, a fictional writer. You may just be a writer that will describe what's going on in the same way, almost like that you're doing.
I think so, yes. I think I'm more into the realistic side than in the fantastic side.
So would you try to get into media? Because, of course, you did a journalistic course. How far did you go?
No, at the end I didn't. It's one of the misunderstandings is being going on in the media. It was marketing.
Okay.
Sports marketing, not journalism.
Yeah. So that is certainly something that you seem comfortable with and happy with. The number one, studying away from football, and number two, preparing yourself for the future or not?
That's not my aim right now. You know, I just do things that I like to do, and that it comes to my curiosity that I enjoy doing it. Obviously, you know, I'm 28 now and I'm not 20 anymore, so the end is getting closer, but I don't think about it because I'm still enjoying a lot. I don't know what I'm going to do after football. You know, sometimes they ask me if I'm going to be coach or pundit, or I don't know. I don't have a clue. I always say that what I would like to do is travel without timings. We travel around the world a lot, but we always have a schedule to follow, and sometimes for us it's the same that we are in Shanghai, that we are in Rome, that we are in Madrid, because the only thing we see is a hotel and a stadium and the airport. So I would love to travel and see the world with my own rhythm.
At Chelsea, he scored 33 goals in 135 games, was voted Player of the Year twice, won a Champions League, an FA Cup and a European League trophy. And yet, the Spanish playmaker became the most expensive player in the Red Devils' history in the 2014 January transfer window when he joined for £37 million. Mata had fallen down the pecking order at Stamford Bridge under Jose Mourinho, and United swooped in. His time at United has been a success, scoring important goals and amazingly He's now one of the longest-serving members of the first team squad, despite being reunited with his former manager.
Mata shifts it onto his left foot, sends it square into Di Maria, looks for Mata again. Mata with a wonderful bicycle kick pass! Simon Mignolet in front of the delirious Manchester United fans to double their advantage and make the lead 2-0. It was an exquisite finish by Juan Mata, who gets his second goal in the game.
You come to England and... again, there's a change of environment, change of city. But again, it is a perfect time in your life. You're young, you want all that. Did you come on your own? Was that always the intention?
Yeah, I mean, my family came with me for periods. So they came and stayed in the house for a month and then they went back to Spain and things like this. But yeah, I was alone sometimes and... I'm really enjoying London and the way of living as a football player in England because I really like it. I felt like at home since the beginning and it was a great experience to go to London and enjoy this great city and obviously Chelsea as well.
Is that the biggest change in your career, how you deal with disappointment and defeat?
I think so, yeah.
How bad were you?
With myself a lot. You know, I used to be very, very critical with myself, and that's not good. I used to put a lot of responsibility in myself, and that's not good for you to, you know, to learn and to improve. And with the years, I've been lucky enough to, you know, to enjoy a lot in football, to win a lot of things, to feel a lot of great experiences that I never thought I was going to live, and that make me calmer, and you know. Keep going, keep being hungry, but more calmer.
Is there a coach that has helped you along the way to understand better those things? What victory means, what defeat means, how you have to deal with them?
Not a specific one, no. I think it was more about just my experience and myself than somebody telling me. Or maybe seeing teammates that they were more experienced than me and you can see how they manage that. But obviously, I think everyone with the years learn. And that's why they say between 27 and 30, 31 is the best time to perform as a footballer because you have the skills and you have as well the years, the experience and the know-how, yeah.
Is that what happens at the elite with the managers, with the coaches? They want you to perform, they tell you how to perform, and the emotional side gets to one side a little bit, and they don't get involved so much into the emotional side.
It depends on the personality of the coach. You know, there are coaches that see that as a very important part of the game, and other ones that they don't see it as important. But at the end of the day... you're a professional football player and you have to become strong, you know, by yourself and by learning. And you know, sometimes people treat you in one way or a manager treat you in a different way, but you have to manage by yourself. You cannot help, you cannot wait for help coming from outside. You have to help yourself.
In fact, the natural selection of players means that the toughest is the ones that survive and get to the top. Do you remember any player along the way that you thought, oh, he's going to make it? He's better than me. He's better than anybody. But couldn't because that mental side?
Yeah, sure. I don't know if because of the mental side or because of, you know, lack sometimes injuries. Get a lot of players out of the way because you have to be lucky as well. And you have to be at the moment, at the right moment, doing the right thing. Maybe with the right manager and then you have the chance and you take it. You have to take it. But I have played in Oviedo, in Selección Asturiana, in the national team under 16, under 17. Seeing a lot of players that you see, wow, they were very, very good. And at the end, I don't think they are playing football anymore.
Let's give an homage to one of them.
For example, Christian. I don't know the last name, but Christian was a football player, and Fran, he was a teammate of me when I was playing as a kid in Asturias, and you know they were strikers, one from Real Oviedo and another one from Real Sporting, and they always score more than 100 goals in every league, and everyone was speaking about them and how good they are, how big they're going to be. And I don't think they're playing right now. Or if they are playing, they're not playing in a high level. So you have to be careful with that as well, you know. We tend to make big stars at an early age, and that's not good for anyone, because you think you are, you have some big name, you are someone, and you're still 14, 15, and you have a lot of things to do yet.
Brings to mind Rashford, for instance, who has been hyped big time very, very early in his career. And you have to say he hasn't done anything. He's impressed. Can be very good. Are you all looking after him?
Yes, I see him as a real talent. Obviously, his quality is undeniable. But I see him as well with his mind in the right place, focused. And I love to see that, because, you know, I've seen a lot of players, like I said before, with great qualities, but at the end they were focused in different things. He's taking the chance. Every time he plays, he's doing right, he's scoring goals, he's helping the team, he's playing fearless, and he has the courage to do what he feels in the pitch. And I think he's going to be a very important player for Man United and for England. And he's still 19 or 20, and, you know, he's become an important player for us already in a few months, because in 1 year time, or no, sorry, in 1 year ago, he was playing for the reserve team and for the under-18s. So it has been a massive change in his life, but I think he's dealing with that okay, and he's a great guy, so hopefully he can carry on the same way.
To Herrera, who spreads it to Varela first time, ball into the box, flying towards Lingard, comes back towards Marcus Rashford, and he hammers the ball into the top corner of the net. What a goal from Rashford, once again in the right place at the right time.
I visited the training ground a few times while I was doing my the biography of Cristiano Ronaldo, and I saw the ghost of Cristiano Ronaldo there. There's a ghost.
There's pictures of him, a lot.
There's a lot of pictures, there's quotes of him, and a lot of people have got stories to tell about Cristiano, because some of the people that were at that time are still there. Have you felt that ghost?
No. No. I mean, if you walk through the corridors in Carrington, you see a lot of photos from Cristiano and from a lot of people that they have done great things in the club. But I didn't feel any ghost yet. I never been at night. I never slept in Carrington. But obviously, Cristiano was a very important player for the club. You can see as well a lot of quotes from Matt Busby. You can see photos from Sir Alex Ferguson, from Eric Cantona, from George Best, from, you know, a lot of legends in the club. And obviously, Cristiano was a very important player as well.
I was going to ask you about the ghost of Sir Alex Ferguson, but you didn't feel it by the sound of it either.
No. I see him sometimes in the stadium, and he's very, very alive. He's not a ghost.
So we're talking about Rashford at the beginning of his career as an elite player. You in the middle of it. Right at the other spectrum is Ibrahimovic, who has always done whatever he wanted and still does it. Kids love him because of that individuality that he has and the way he does things, which are different. Are we producing Ibrahimovic, or is that one off? Is that the last of an era?
Well, you know, it's very difficult to have all the things that he has. It's very difficult to... When people say about this is the next Messi or the next Cristiano or the next Ibrahimovic or the next Rooney or whoever it is, it's very difficult because he's one of a kind. And Zlatan is like this. I mean, he has a great physical strength combined with great quality, great flexibility and great movement and reading of the game. So he has almost everything. And he has as well a strong personality, which I think it helped him through the years a lot. And I think he says that all the time, because he really feels that his mentality is what sets him apart. And I mean, I'm very happy that he's here, because, you know, I'm always happy to play with great players during my career. Obviously, he's one of the best strikers that there is in the game, and he's brought a lot of things to the team, you know, not just his mentality or his way of understanding football, his way of behaving, you know, with the players in the dressing room. He's always pushing buttons in the right moment and in the right way, trying to motivate everyone, and he's a very funny guy, so I think he's a very good addition for the team.
So is that the training sessions are like? I mean, he's a bit of a joker. And
yeah, he is. Yeah, he's always joking, he's always doing banters and yeah, pushing the buttons in the right moment, in the right way, to the right persons, and I think it's good for the dressing room as well, this character.
Martial to Ibrahimovic. Advantage played by the referee. Ibrahimovic looks up, shoots, scores! He was 25 yards out, he's just passed it into the bottom left-hand corner, and he runs towards the edge of the United technical area where Jose Mourinho is off the bench and off his feet, jumping with delight.
So it sounds like Ibra comes to have fun when he comes to train and to play football. In your case, is it a job? Is it a place of fun as well? What do you think of when you go to training?
I mean, I never tried to lose that feeling of just playing football, just coming back to the start and coming back to the roots where I played football since I was a kid, and if I was not a professional footballer, I would still be playing football, I think, with my friends and during the weekend or in the weekends, and then having a drink with them because I love to play. And then obviously you become professional and you have more responsibilities and you have more duties and you have always the thing of in the back of your head of winning and you know, performing well, competing and all these things that comes with professional sport. But I always try to have a space for the real and genuine feeling of playing, because football is a game, and obviously it's about, when you become professional footballer, it's about being better, trying to be better, trying to win, but as well for me is trying to enjoy and trying to don't feel that genuine feeling.
You are listening to Juan Mata, Breaking the Mold. In this next section, he talks us through the move from Chelsea to United.
The biggest signing of the transfer window so far has been completed. Manchester United have confirmed Juan Mata has joined from Chelsea for a club record fee of £37.1 million.
And his relationship with Mourinho.
Manchester United going to make another substitution just to run the clock down again. The Moose, if he is still on the touchline, can tell us about it because he's been waiting to tell us about this all day.
Juan Mata, who came on as a sub, I think it was for Jesse Lingard, after about 55 minutes, is the man who's coming off. So Juan Mata gets the hook, the substitute's been substituted. And Mkhitaryan is coming on.
It never feels good when that happens, really, does it?
So you are walking around here. There's a lot of green. There must be parks around this area where you live. And a ball comes to you. There's a bunch of kids playing, teenagers, say. And they said, come on, join us and play football. What do you say?
Well, I think I'll say yes. You know, it never happened since I came, but when I'm with my friends on holidays and there's a beach and we have a ball, we play. And I think every footballer will do the same.
Would you be surprised if I tell you, I must have asked this about 100 people, 100 players, top players. Only three told me they will join that group. David Beckham, Zidane and Raul.
Well, I've seen more. You know, I've seen Buffon last summer. I've seen a lot of football players, and I think I'll do the same because a game is a game. And then if you see even kids playing or when I go home and my cousins are playing or whatever, I like to do that because it's what I enjoy the most.
When you came to England, you spoke English already? So.
I thought I spoke English, but then you come here and obviously I had lessons in the school, you know, in Spain we have English obligatory in the school. But then you come here and you start feeling that English people speak very quick, that the accent is very difficult to understand. I think it happened, or I believe it happened the same to you. And then you need to hurry up and you need to start learning quick and fast because then you are lost in translation. And it's important, obviously, to live here, to understand and to learn the language, because you can try to learn theory, but then you have to dare to speak it.
So who made the call, say, you know, if the electricity company, you had a problem with them or you needed something on the phone to somebody at the beginning, who made the calls?
In the phone, it was difficult. In the phone, it is still difficult sometimes. When you call, I don't know, to a restaurant, to someone to fix something in the house or whatever, if you don't have them in front of you and you can kind of read what they say, it's difficult to understand. So you have, I always had to say, can you say it again, please? Can you say it again, please? And at the fourth time, maybe I got it. But I tried to call. I was the one that tried to call and tried to understand it. Sometimes probably I did the wrong booking in a restaurant or I called the wrong people, but I tried.
From that period, from that first few months, what do you remember as in a moment of difficulty or a funny moment with your language or something that...
When I arrived to Chelsea, we were a few Spanish people there. It was Fernando Torres, who spoke obviously good English after his years in Liverpool. It was Oriol Romeo, who was in the same position as me. We were having lessons with a great teacher, Peter, great man, every week in Chelsea's training camp. But the funniest thing was Paco Biosca, the doctor. Yeah, the doctor of Chelsea. He is Spanish, and his English is very Spanish.
Big accent. Use Spanish words into English.
Yeah, that's right. So it was, I think it was the funniest moment with him, trying to speak with all the team, because sometimes he had to speak with all the team in the dressing room in his Spanglish, and it was so funny to hear.
How was the move to Manchester United? How did you leave that? Was it, must have been tension?
Well, it was an intense week, because, you know, a lot of people was talking about, and it was long days, but at the end, it was all good, you know. I see it as I feel it as a very grateful week from my side to all the Chelsea club, to all the Chelsea supporters and to everyone there, because I had amazing experiences in there and we've celebrated a lot of important things together. So I was in a way sad for leaving a club like Chelsea and all these memories and all these great people, and obviously happy for coming to a great club like Manchester United, that not everyone has the chance to play for Manchester United. So it was mixed feelings, but with a grateful feeling in the back of my head.
It was you who wrote the letter to the fans. It was yourself, and it was an emotional letter out there for everybody who wants to look at it. Was it difficult to write it?
I think it came by itself. You know, it was what I felt at that moment to everyone that has helped me through the years, especially in Chelsea. Not just to the fans, but to everyone working in the club, to my teammates and to everyone that I had relationship with, because I really think it was a great moment in my life. And that's the way I could put it in words. You know, sometimes it's difficult to write some feelings, but I did it the best I could.
And then at Manchester United, things didn't go as expected. You feel, even though you haven't been for many, many years at the club, but you feel that you have a responsibility to lead, especially in terms of difficulties. Do you speak? Do you try to cheer people up? Do you have to look after the young players? That how you feel about it?
Well, even though I've not been here for a long time, I'm one of the oldest being in the club right now. We have been through a period of a lot of changes in the club, from managers to players, and there's a lot of new players, there's a lot of new faces, young players, and obviously I've been here, this is my third season, I believe. Well, 2.5, this is my fourth then. And, you know, I became one of the ones that was playing here for most of the time. And, well, I liked the responsibility, to be fair. I always liked it during my career. And sometimes when he needed, if I have to say something, I will say it. But I think we have a lot of players that, even though they have not been here for a long time, they were in different clubs and playing for the highest clubs in the world, so they know what it means to play for Manchester United and the responsibility that we have to play good football and to try to win. Because, you know, when I was a kid and since I was born, I think every time that I looked at Manchester United, it was always playing good football, winning, celebrating, and it was obviously one of the greatest clubs in the history of the game. So we know that we can do that and we want to do that because of the fans.
What in your career, how has the relationship with the coaches changed? Perhaps at the beginning you accepted their authority. You do now as well, I'm sure. Hmm. But you talk more to them? You intervene more in the conversations, even tactical conversations? Or?
Through the years, I think, as well, as I told you before, I think you learn more aspects of the game. So, and then you feel that, well, you have lived some experiences that maybe it can help to sort some problems and to speak with some players or with the manager or with whoever. But yes, I always like to be very communicative with my managers. And then it depends on the personality of the manager. Some managers, they speak a lot with the players, some they don't. And then you have to accept that. But I always been very open to conversations with managers because I believe communication is a very important tool for everyone. And especially when you're leading or managing a group of people, communicating is very important.
And in terms of impact of coaches, do you remember a chat, a conversation, even one of those that happens before games, that really comes into mind and you think, not that you won because of that, but that really stuck in your mind?
Well, I remember, for example, just before we won the Champions League with Chelsea, with Roberto Di Matteo. He was a very passionate coach, very good communicating, very good reaching players. And we got, just before the game, we got the meeting, and then obviously he was speaking about tactical issues and things, but he was more focused into the motivational part of the game, which is obviously playing a Champions League final. I couldn't find anything more exciting than that. And he was very good into that. And then he put a video of our families wishing us good luck and, you know, wives, girlfriends, moms, grandmans. And after that, the way he spoke, he was very emotional. We all got quite emotional, and it was key because we felt that, you know, we're representing Chelsea. We are here to try to win in Munich against Bayern Munich. It was very, very tough. But we felt that destiny had that gift for us. And you know, Chelsea lost the final in Moscow against Man United a few years ago. And we felt at that moment, and it was our moment. And with these conversations, with these feelings in that room, I think we start winning.
This summer must have been difficult, if nothing else, because of a new manager coming in who you had previous history with. But obviously there was a lot of stories in the papers about your future. How do you deal with all that? Do you read the papers? Do you?
Well, it gets to you because obviously even if you don't read them, then it's a friend that calls you or there's a familiar that calls you. What's this? What is that? Are you going there? Are you moving there? And, you know, there were a lot of things say that I didn't like. And that they were not true. That's what the big problem is. Because if they say something that is this maybe happening, then it's fine. But creating stories, I don't like.
Like what?
A lot. I said yesterday a lot. You know, they were saying that I was leaving, that I was going to this club, that I was speaking with this club, that I had conversations with the manager about this, that I was changing my number, that a lot of things that they were not true. And then you can every single day try to stop it, going and saying this is not true, but then you get crazy. Or you can do what I did, which is okay, you can say whatever you want. I know what's going on, I know the truth, and I prefer to stay focused on what I have to do, and my mind was fully focused on that, replying my friends, replying my family, and telling that nothing of that was true, and that's it.
But it must have been a moment where you had a conversation with Jose Mourinho and said, okay, you my man, or...
No.
Nothing?
No. So it all goes naturally, you know. Sometimes in football, because obviously people wants to know what's happening inside and wants to try to imagine what's happening inside. But most of the time, what happens inside is more normal than people think. So maybe sometimes it's not needed even a conversation. It's needed a training and training and training, playing and speaking through football and speaking through the ball. And I like that. But obviously when you're outside and you try to know what's going on, then your mind, it goes endless.
In fact, if you think about it, it probably was a good decision from the manager's point of view. It's like, okay, show me.
Well, I don't know what he thought. But I did what I always did. You know, it's not just in here in Manchester, but during my career and during other footballers' career, there's always rumors and what you can do. You have to do your job. And I did mine, and I'm trying to do mine the best I can. I was and I am very happy in the team. I feel important in the team. And that's it. I feel loved from the fans. And the rest is speculation.
You are listening to Juan Mata, Breaking the Mold. Loved by many fans, admired by writers and journalists, Juan has established himself as one of the nicest men in football, but with a quiet intensity that has transformed this modern midfielder into a winner.
Well, what's your impression when you come to England? And I know you've been here for a while, but what would you say are the big differences in how games are prepared in Spain and here, how they played?
I think it has changed a lot, English football, since I came. And even before I came, the last probably 10, 15 years, I think it has changed a lot. And there's foreign managers coming, there's a lot of foreign players coming as well, so I feel there is more European way of football rather than historical English way of football. But probably here the games, and it's a fact, are more physical. You know, are more physical. They are bigger and stronger defenders. The referees allow more things, and then you have to get used to that. And probably in Spain they are a bit more based on possession and, you know, this kind of game that we normally in Spain we play. But if you speak about exciting games and crazy things can happen, I think English football is the best in the world. You go to any stadium or any rival camp to Old Trafford and you are in trouble if you don't play good or if you don't finish your chances. In other leagues, you feel that maybe that's more difficult, you know. Maybe 10 teams, they compete, but the rest 10 teams, you know, when they face one of the biggest, they're going to lose. And here it's difficult, and I think everyone feels the same when they come from the first time to the English football. So I will say to everyone that I recommend to come to the English football at least one season to feel how good it is.
Have you got a theory why England is not winning?
No. No, because I think they have the players to do it, you know. They have, especially in these last years, or obviously when Scholes, Lampard, Gerrard, Beckham, they were all playing. They had a great team, but it's true that they never won in the recent history. They never won something big. But I don't know the reason, because I think they have all the things to win. And maybe they do it sooner than later because as I say, they have good players coming like Marcus and young players, so they will, I see that they will compete.
You have to choose one game, your favourite game, and that's the one that's going to be you know, in the DVD that you will give the most important person in your life. What will be the game?
The most emotional game that I've been, I didn't play, but that was the final of the World Cup where Andres Iniesta scored, and that was an unbelievable feeling. But that I played, probably I have to say obviously the Champions League final. I mean, I don't know how many players are able to play Champions League final during their careers, but even though it was a tough game and, you know, a very suffering game, we were defending and trying to score, and we did it in the almost last minute and then in the penalties as well. It was a difficult night, but at the end, probably one of the best nights in my life.
Chelsea have won a corner over on the far side, their first of the game in the 88th minute of the match, their first of the game.
Well, if ever he wanted a good corner, one matter, if ever he wants to clear Philip Lahm on the front post, then it's now.
Every outfield Chelsea player inside the Bayern Munich half, most of them inside the penalty area. It's aimed in towards Didier Drogba, who gets a header in, and he scores in the final few minutes of the European Cup final. Extraordinary from Chelsea.
And a goal, probably, it didn't mean a lot for the result, because we have already probably won the game. But I was always, or I will be always, proud to say that I have scored in the final of Eurocup. You know, we won 4-0 against Italy. We just got into the pitch and I scored the fourth goal, which was obviously 4-0 against Italy, something great. And it was a great venue and a great game to do it.
Here is Torres, he's onside again, he's been played into the
center. Oh!
Juan Mata, who fires the ball low and hard into the empty net. Torres had drawn out Buffon after the ball had been slipped through into the box. He squared it to his Chelsea teammate, who fired it low and hard into an unguarded goal. And Spain are European champions again.
I haven't mentioned the World Cup victory this week, so I think you have to take me for a minute to that day, because that was for all of us. It was just something we'll never forget, and it has to be considered one of the best moments of our lives. So
for sure.
Take us there.
Tough game, very physical game. But when we got into the extra time, I felt that we were going to win because we were playing much better. And then especially Andres Iniesta was, you know, leading the team, trying to create something. And they had a big chance, one or two big chances, but a big chance with Arjen Robben against Iker.
At that moment, I've got still no idea why, I got up off my seat, I was in the media seats, and started kicking the chair. I stood up and started kicking the chair, and the chair was going all over the place, and everybody was thinking I was crazy. But I don't know why, the feeling that it has to be our moment. If this happens, it has to happen. It has to be our day.
I felt that in the extra time. But I didn't, or we didn't want to arrive to penalties, because in penalties you never know. So, I mean, when Iniesta scored, it was an incredible feeling. We all start running to him from the bench and from the pitch to that corner, and we arrived there. We fell. We, you know, it was like a fight, but we were celebrating, and we could feel the silence because it was where all the Holland supporters were in that part of the stadium. They were much more than the Spanish supporters, and we were screaming and, you know, happiness, but we felt the silence of the rest of this part of the stadium.
Fabregas works it round the corner. Fernando Torres has got it on the left-hand side now. Torres clipping it inside the box. A very tired challenge gets it away. Fabregas through. It's Iniesta to win the World Cup for Spain. That's the goal that surely sees them crowned champions of the world. Andres Iniesta, the man of the match, with the biggest goal in Spanish football history.
And then after that, it was the longest 4 minutes in our life. It was 116 minutes and it was too long. But when the referee whistled the final end, it was probably one of the best feelings in the world for me. We start running nowhere, we start screaming and feeling that we have made history, because it really was history.
In fact, you look so happy. You, all of you, look so happy. But at the point where you see the cup, is that the moment where you realise what you've done, or one of the early moments?
Yes, because when we were in the pitch celebrating, we were telling to each other, what have we done? I mean, it's going to be crazy when we come back to Spain. And then, yeah, when we lifted the cup, and when you see the cup in the dressing room, then you realise this is crazy.
It has taken 80 years
but Spain are the champions of the world. Casillas in tears again as he lifts the trophy to the heavens. Finally, the great underachievers of world football have their hands on the biggest prize of all. Spain, the world champion.
Probably one of the best feelings was the day after when we arrived to Spain. It was incredible that day when you go into the parade, you call it parade, no? Through Madrid, all the country was outside. We couldn't see any space in the streets for anyone else. Everyone was out welcoming us, and it was one of the greatest as well days in my life. It was unbelievable and unforgettable.
Remember one face in particular? One face of somebody in the crowd?
There were too many. I don't know. No, I don't remember any faces. I seen some known faces. You know, you are in the parade and you start looking, and then someone does like, and then it was one guy that was with you in the school. Then the other one is one guy from a restaurant, and you start seeing people that you know. But at that moment, you just go with, you know, with excitement and the happiness. And then when we were speaking in front of all the people in I think it was Cologne, and it was incredible. So one of the greatest feelings in my life.
Nobody boos Mata, and that's his strength. How many players can say they have played for Real Madrid, Chelsea, Manchester United, and still be called Mr. Nice? Every step of his career has been carefully thought of, and he has not always taken the easy route. On and off the pitch, one likes to test the boundaries, create his own path. Perhaps because he's not the quickest or the strongest, he's not the most talented, and as a consequence, he has had to develop that part of the body that helps you reach the furthest, the brain. Juan Mata breaks the mold. Thank you for listening. Till next time. Hasta luego.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.